privilege to be up here preaching this morning and continue to be in prayer for Pastor Mark and his wife. Not only just the after surgery, but the trip back home, be in prayer for that as well. So today, I get the honor to come to you and preach God's word. And I was, as I was going through this sermon and preparing it, I got to thinking about what are some of those things that when we talk about taking back. So you ever made a deal with somebody and try to take it back? Because you realize that deal was a terrible deal that you made. I remember in elementary school, we had these snacks that were, they kind of resurged, became popular within the past year or so. But Dunkaroos was a big snack when I was a kid. And if a kid brought that to lunch, oh, he was popular because he had the snack every kid wanted. And you would have kids trying to make deals, like, hey, I'll give you my entire lunch for a week if you just give me that. And, you know, of course, no, I'm not going to do that and all that. Well, I remember as a kid, a friend had a pack of Dunkaroos, and I was like, I'm going to find something to trade for this. And I was successful. And this is why I'm just not a good salesman, because I'd make terrible deals. And so I said, hey, man, I've got, look, and I tried to, you know, I tried to make it as best I could. Hey, man, I got this apple, all right? It's still good. There's no bruises on it. It's perfect. And I wish I could say that he thought about it for a second and, you know, changed his mind. It was a quick no. But I remember thinking about if I was to take that deal, or if he was to take that deal, he'd take one bite of that apple and realize that is a terrible trade. I can't take it back now. He can't get back what he's traded for. And as I was preparing this message and thinking about things that we wish we could take back, things that we wish, and we could just, if we could just give it up and walk away from it. Well, today, we're going to be talking about worship. We're going to be talking about our worship with God. We're going to be talking about what worship looks like. How is worship defined, and how is it not defined? Sometimes we have a view of worship that it might be not a necessarily a bad view, just maybe the wrong view. Because we think of worship, we think about what we just did. We think about the songs we just sang. We think about music. We think about hymns. We think about lifting our hands. Worship is more than those things. Worship is more than just the 15 or 20 minutes every Sunday. Worship is more than just a moment. Worship is something we do for our entire lives. And here's the thing. It's something both unbelievers and believers share. We are worshipers. And if you don't believe unbelievers worship, turn your news on. Like I just said, you know, last week, we just left a month where we worship sin. We worship sin. We put it all on our TVs. We put it in front of our kids. We put it, it's in our schools. It's everywhere. Worship yourself. Worship what you want. Worship what you desire. Worship what you love. And we see that worship is intended for good. When we start worship, we look at the first thing. Worship starts at surrendering. You can't worship God by still loving this world. We see Romans 12, 1 and 2. This will be our main verse for today. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Paul starts out verse 12 with the word therefore. Something I heard as a kid, and it's something I've used to this day. When you see the word therefore, you always ask, what is it there for? You ask, why did Paul use this word therefore? Because he's wrapping up chapters 1 through 11. If we go back and read chapters 1 through 11, it's leading up to this moment. And the theme that we see throughout chapters 1 through 11 is God has shown humans great mercy. What is mercy? I talked about this in Sunday school class. Mercy is forgiving the sinner and withholding the punishment that is justly deserved. We experience God's mercy because he forgives us and he withholds the wrath that is to come. But what about grace? Grace is heaping undeserved blessings upon the sinner. We get mercy from God where he is withholding the wrath, and we get his grace by his blessings that he pours upon us. John Newton said this, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be, but still I am not what I used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." Church, God's mercy and grace makes absolutely zero sense. Because I don't deserve forgiveness. I deserve the punishment that he is withholding. I don't deserve his blessings. But through that, but through the cross, through redemption, I can worship God because of mercy and grace. I can worship God because he has forgiven me of my sins, and I am not going to experience the wrath of God, but I'm going to experience the peace of God. So, church, when we see worship, worship is about surrender. Romans 12 shows us worship and what it looks like. It is surrender. And we see God's mercy and grace in Psalms 51, verses 1. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." Isaiah 55, 7. "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, he will freely pardon." Church, we can worship because we have been freely pardoned by him. Do you understand that you haven't just been pardoned? You haven't just been forgiven. Your sins haven't just been blotted out freely. How? Isaiah 55, 7. How is it freely given to us, God? It was a promise. It was a promise to come. It was the promise the prophet was speaking about. There's coming a day when the wicked will forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. There's coming a day when that is possible because Jesus will go to the cross for it. And because he has went to the cross, and because he has died on the cross, and because he has come out of that grave on the third day, you can be not just pardoned, but freely pardoned. I mean, there's nothing that is required of you. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to give anything. You don't have to attend 10 church services in order to get God's grace. You are freely pardoned because of his son. So we can worship God because we have surrendered what we couldn't give up and we couldn't fix. We couldn't fix our sins. We couldn't atone for our sins. We couldn't do anything because of our sins, but because we have surrendered our lives to him, he freely pardons us, so now we can freely worship. Church, we have a worship problem within our midst, not just here, but the church itself. We are under attack from the enemy. The enemy is trying to show us there's more joy to be had in worshiping yourself. There's more joy to be had in worshiping the things of this earth. There's more joy to be had in worshiping sin. Now, he's not coming out saying that outrightly. He's disguising it. He's lying to us. What God uses as a blessing, he will turn for a curse. You know that grace that's been given to you, that you are forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future? Well, the enemy will slip that lie in. You can do whatever you want now. You can do whatever you want. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. You can go do the list of things you want to do because of grace. The enemy slips that lie in. And then what you don't understand, you're no longer free, but you're under bondage. And that's why you can't worship. Because you're giving in to sin after sin after sin after sin. And before long, You come to you hear a song on the radio, or you sitting on Sunday mornings, and you just can't worship. Can't. Because you're under bondage. You're tied down by all the sins that you're letting into your life. All those lies, all that gossip, all that hatred, all that frustration, all that anger, it seeps in and it takes root in us. And when it does that, we're no longer free, but we are under bondage. And when we are under bondage, we can't worship because we are no longer freely free. We are right back into that bondage we've been freed from. Romans 1, we see that a sacrifice is something that is a New Testament believer, but this is an Old Testament tradition. So when Paul speaks of this sacrifice, they would understand. A sacrifice testified of a commitment to God. And if you was to go back and read the Old Testament, go back and read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, that the sacrifice wasn't easy. A sacrifice was hard because a sacrifice required you of doing something that pleased God. And we see that they had to be perfect. They had to be spotless. They had to be pleasing to God. And just like that commitment they made unto God, that we must do the same. To be a true worshiper of God, you must sacrifice your will to His. Our worship of God is acceptable when we fully surrender everything to Him. Church, if you want to worship God fully, we must fully surrender our will. You want to experience true worship? You want to experience freeing worship? Surrender everything. Surrender everything. Surrender your will. What is your will? What is your desires? What are your wants? And sometimes our will can be our sins. That we want to keep doing what our sins want us to do because it makes us feel accomplished or it makes us feel comfortable. We got to surrender everything to Him. Sacrifice our future. So many times we tell students, think about what you want to do for your future. Think about what you want to go to college, or think about what you want your career to be. Church, I think we're asking the wrong question. That's not the question we should be asking. The question we should be asking is, students, adults, seek God's will. Don't seek your will. Don't seek your desires, because what happens? Our desires lead us down bad paths. But if we were to seek the will of God, we are to seek what He loves, what He desires. Not only are we going to experience freedom, but we're going to walk in His freedom. We get to walk not bound by this world. We're not, when this world says, hey, look at this, or you want this, we can say, you know what? I don't want that. I don't desire that because I have God. I have everything that I need. I'm completely content on what God gives me. And if God gives me a lot, praise God. If God gives me a little, praise God. I'm completely dependent on Him, not dependent on me. Because there's one thing I'm good at, and that's messing things up. And that's true for all human beings in here. We're good at one thing. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Our will. How do we overcome our will? How do we each and every day follow God? How do we surrender to His will? It's an everyday thing. Verse 2, by the renewing of your mind. We see verse 2 explains what's happening in verse 1 by telling us how we can offer ourselves. How can we offer ourselves? By the renewing of our mind. Each and every day we wake up, we're not worried about me. I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried about what God wants. I'm worried about what He wills for that day. That's a daily renewing. You can't renew your mind if you read your Bible once a month. You can't renew your mind if you pray to Him whenever you feel like it. A renewing of the mind is a journey you go on in a relationship with God. Each and every day is a battle. Each and every day is a battle. What you battle today, you may not battle to tomorrow. So you've got to renew your mind each and every day for the days ahead. Because if you don't, you will give in to what you desire and what you will. But how do we avoid by being conformed to this world? You renew your mind daily. Church, I want to challenge you by saying this. And I want you to think about this as you go out through your week. If you interact with people outside of this building, if you're interacting with them, and they can't tell you're a Christian, you need to renew your mind daily. Because you look too much like this world. If our Bible study, what did Jesus say? You are a light on a hill. Can't be hidden. A Christian cannot be hidden. A Christian stands out in darkness. A Christian stands out in this lost world. A Christian stands out because he's proclaiming the gospel. She's proclaiming the gospel. They are proclaiming truth. They're not jerks about it. They're not mean about it. But they're telling people truth so that they may experience the love of God. We tell them the truth so that they will never experience the wrath of God to come. Church, we can't look like this world. We must renew our minds daily and offer our worship to God only and not this world. Because church, here's the thing. If you look like this world, you act like this world, and you resemble this world, you are worshiping this world. That's just the truth. No matter how you cut it, or slice it, or dice it. If you resemble this world, you are worshiping this world. You cannot look like this world. You've got to be different. You've got to set yourself apart. And that's another word for called being holy. You've got to be set apart. You can't look like this world. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. So if you have been raised with Christ, if you are a believer, if you have been saved, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. You want to know how to renew your mind daily. You want to know how to stop worshiping this world? Seek things above. Seek things that matter. Seek things that bring Him glory. You can't serve this kingdom while also trying to serve another kingdom. You can only serve one. And as believers, we are called to serve the heavenly kingdom. But Paul doesn't just say seek the things. Later on in that verse, he will say put to death the earthly nature. Put to death your earthly desires. Put to death what you will, what you want. And put on and seek the mind of God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Church, the reason why I love Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, because the writer of Hebrews understands. Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. We must renew our minds daily because sin is so easy to ensnare you. Sin is so easy to wrap itself around you and choke the life out of you. To bring on that anxiety, to bring on that shame, to bring on that heartache, to bring on the fight that you've got to fight. Because it so easily ensnares us. How many of y'all have been just sitting at home one day, not doing anything, not thinking about anything? And find yourself going down a path that doesn't honor God. Maybe it's a mind thing. Maybe it's you telling yourself you're not good enough. Or you telling yourself that you hate yourself. Or maybe it's a TV show that you catch. Or maybe it's a phone call. How often is it so easily that we can be in a spot that we're walking with God and then the next thing we know we're wrapped up in sin? Sin will disguise itself. Sin will hide itself. And before long, you're wrapped up all in it. That's why you must renew your mind daily. Our worship is an overflow from sacrificial surrender. Surrender is not easy. Never meant to be easy. And church, if you're not hurting when you surrender, you're not surrendering. Surrender hurts because you're giving up the very thing the flesh wants. You're giving up the very thing that you desire. But when you surrender, you're surrendering for something better. You're not replacing something bad with something a little bad. No, you're replacing evil with good. You're replacing death with life. You're surrendering your will to God, to serve God. See, church, we have a lot of believers in this world today that know Jesus as their Savior, but they've never fully surrendered, so they don't know Him as their Lord. And if you want to experience the goodness of God, know Him as your Lord. He is a good King. He is a perfect King. He is our King. He's the only one we worship. And when we worship God, we get God. When we worship this earth, we get everything that comes with it. All the heartache, all the sin, all the trouble, everything that is on this earth, we get if we worship it. But when we worship God and we worship the only kingdom that matters, the only kingdom that will be sustained, you know, we're so thankful to live in a great country. The freedoms that we have. But this kingdom has nothing compared to that kingdom. That kingdom is ruled by a true, good King. Perfect King. And when we surrender our will to that King, we will experience His goodness. We will experience His mercy. We will experience His grace. We will experience His blessings because that's what He gives out of His nature. Church, today, I ask this question. Are you holding on to something? Are you choosing to keep something? You know it's causing you pain. You know it's causing you heartache. And you hate having to face it every single day, but you would rather face it than deal with it. Because you know by not dealing with it, you don't have to face it. But you've got to face the things you're not surrendering to God. It's going to hurt. It's going to stink. But would you rather be free? Is freedom better than bondage? I see several of y'all in here. I know several of y'all's testimonies. I know the bondage y'all walked out of and the freedom that you're experiencing now. Some of y'all I can ask, is the bondage worth it? And the answer would be a resounding what? No. The bondage is not worth it. The bondage does not bring peace. The bondage brings chaos. If you think you keep doing and giving in to the sin, eventually life will get easy. No, it never does. It just keeps getting more and more chaotic. Church, God has called us to be worshipers of Him. Worship Him only, nothing else. But we cannot worship Him when we're bound by this world. We can't. When we're so focused on things of this earth, and we're so focused on what's happening here, we can't worship Him. Because we are overcome, we are anxious, and we are fearful. Christ has called us out of that. This world may be bad, but this world will end. Focus on what is to come. Focus on getting people to heaven. Focus on telling the gospel to as many people as you can so that their worship may be true. Their worship may be freeing. Because church, even unbelievers worship and they're worshiping in bondage. They worship the things of this world. They worship themselves. In church, we cannot be effective as a body if we are not worshiping God. We can't be. Worship is not just lifting your hands. It's not just singing. It's sacrificing your will and your desire to Him. That's worship. That's the worship He wants. He doesn't want the worship where you just sing. Maybe you sing your favorite song and you worship Him. That's not what He's calling worship. Worship is sacrificing who you are to Him daily. Not giving in to the things of this earth. Not giving in to the enemy. Not giving in to what your neighbors say. But you devote your life to following Him and Him alone. That's worship. That's worship. In church, we are called to be worshipers. In church, I pray that we are worshiping Him. And if you're in here and you're struggling, maybe there's something that you just haven't given up. You've got to surrender something. You can experience freedom today, church. You can experience the freedom that God offers. But the bigger question is, some of y'all in here don't know Jesus. It doesn't matter what you surrender now, because that's not going to matter. You have to surrender your sin unto Him so that He may take it and pardon you freely. Church, the best decision and the only greatest decision you can make in your life is accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Saying to Him, not my will, but your will be done. If we remember, in the garden, that's the mind of Christ. That was the mind of Christ. Your will, not my will. So church, maybe some of y'all in here need to surrender your will to Him. Maybe some of y'all in here think that you've got it all under control, that you've got this, that you've got your hands wrapped around this, and that you've got it all under control, you're good. But in reality, you're in chaos. Surrender what you're holding on to God. In church, whatever we're holding on to God, surrender to Him. We maybe as a body have to surrender. But church, it's individually that we call to today. Surrender what you have to surrender to Him. Because He's going to do good things in your life if you let Him. He's going to do things that make no sense. He's going to do things that you couldn't have done under your own power. But when you're fully surrendered unto Him and you give it all to Him, you'll begin to see things in your life that you've never seen before. You know, I've told y'all the story, my testimony. I couldn't be up here preaching to y'all. I couldn't be up here behind a pulpit. But it's only by the grace and mercy and the power of God that I'm able to do it. I know He can forgive you. I know He will walk beside you. But when you surrender, you're not walking alone, church. When you surrender, you're not just saying, God, I'm giving it to you and I'm going to walk alone and you're not going to be with me. No, when you surrender your will to Him, He is going to walk beside you daily. Why? Because He loves you. Because He gave His life up for you. He doesn't want you to sacrifice it and then trying to figure it out. No, you have to sacrifice your will and daily renew your mind in order to worship Him. True worship begins at surrender, but not just any surrender, sacrificial. Surrender's got to hurt. And if it's not hurt, then it's not surrender. Surrender your flesh to Him. Give up what you want in order to follow Him. Let's pray. Father, I just ask today, God, somebody in here, God, if they are holding on to something, if they're just trying to hold on to it just for a little bit longer until it gets easy, oh God, may they be reminded that it'll never get easy. That sin's ultimate goal is death. It's not life. Sin's ultimate goal leads to destruction. So God, I pray for the one in here that's holding on to what they need to surrender to. God, I pray that they will give it to you. They will hand it to you and walk away from it and trusting that you will supply their needs. You will supply what they need in those moments of weakness. And so God, I pray for this church. God, I just pray for VBS upcoming. God, I pray for the kids and the adults and the families that will be coming through our parking lots and in our church. God, may we be a light to them. May our worship look pure. May our worship look worthy of your glory. So, Father, I just ask today that our church, God, would just surrender to you so that we may be effective in the community. May we worship you solely, God, and not ourselves. Thank you, God, for all that you do and continue to do. In your name we pray. Amen.